Welcome to the Setlist Podcast. I'm Harris Gale.
I'm Susie G.
Again with the CS.
That was one of my favorite parts of the last episode. Sorry. Go ahead.
Susie G. I've had an ocher. I sound different because I think I have bronchitis.
Oh.
And it's okay. I'm Lindsay Warren.
How's it going, guys? Girls? Sorry. 2018.
Gender equality.
Yeah.
Good. It's good. We're all a bit burnt out from various projects.
This is true.
Yep, that's definitely accurate.
We love our podcast.
We're here once again, round three.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's how it is in the professional world, right?
Yeah, you do projects. You get keeping on.
Yeah.
Exactly. With or without bronchitis. I swear this isn't like a stunt double. Like, it's actually me in the flesh.
It is I.
I hired someone to be head of surrogate today.
So what's new? You guys, we had reading week / writing week, basically.
Yeah. So much for like a
/ no sleep week.
Yeah. So we got through that. We also had some time to, you know, if we wanted to go see some shows, we might have had a little bit more free time to do that. You guys are all shaking your heads. Okay, cool.
I went to festival.
Nice,
oh,
me too.
I did too.
So, like, you're kind of there, so that does equal a show,
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, I went there too. I think, did we all go to festival?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You chose not to freeze.
Yes, I have I have an unpopular opinion about festival.
Which
that
is?
I don't really get very excited to go.
Well, this year
it's too cold, and like all the bands that play, they play all the time in other places. I just don't like to.
It was kind of expensive this year too.
It's expensive,
and
then you're waiting outside.
Thing where they like you pre-bought tickets, so lines wouldn't be as long. But I still waited an hour and a half.
Oh, were you in that group?
Yeah,
I was lucky. We didn't have to deal with that. But we went Thursday. It was still $25 for like six to whatever.
Yeah, I did the same thing. And I asked Lindsay beforehand. I was like, if I buy my ticket beforehand, am I still going to have to wait forever in line?
Me being the the pessimist I am, I'm like, yes, you have to wait. Yeah. If I had to wait, you had to.
And it actually wasn't that bad. I went by myself.
That's bold.
I love that.
Well, because I was pretty much on assignment. That's how it felt. I mean, I had to go there.
Oh.
I was going there to take pictures of Marty Sarbat and Lanikai.
Oh, cool. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah.
It was a great show.
Did you have to still pay to get in?
Yes. And now, and one of my friends is a photographer for Manitoba Music.
Right.
And she got a pass.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Right.
I don't know what channels I would have to have gone through to get a pass, but I totally should have.
Yeah. In retrospect.
Oh, my God. And I didn't have to wait in line. Like, the actual line into the festival, maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
And then the line for the venue was
right.
10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it honestly was not that bad.
Yeah. No, we were fine on Thursday, and it was a little chilly that day.
Yeah.
But I saw the Remedies, who
right.
we interviewed in episode one. They were a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Had everybody dancing. They did. Yeah, they're always fun. And then I saw Red Moon Road, which was quite good. They played some of their new material, too. And I've seen them at Folk Fest in the past. And, yeah, they were great. It's a three-piece band from I think more so rural Manitoba, I feel like, is where they're based. But they're normally on tour during festival, so they played both weekends, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Cool. Lindsay, who did you see?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Are you?
She Googles it.
Sorry.
I don't know who it was. I just wasn't really paying attention to the name.
Mm.
What kind of music was it?
I don't know.
What's the consensus on photographing on assignment and beverages?
Oh,
I was on. Yeah, I didn't have anything.
I would say no on that.
No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was an unfortunate no.
I just like wouldn't be paying attention to like what I should be.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, yeah, because you have your camera in one hand. You can't have that in one hand and a.
That's our public service announcement.
When I actually do interview someone, I will not have any beverages.
Wow.
I will be on point when I do that.
Wow.
You mean like zero, like not even water?
Oh, yeah, I'll be very dehydrated. No drinks that
yeah.
Fasting, actually.
Yeah, it is a pasty interview. But no, like when I was there, I had my camera. I didn't get any drinks because I was just like, if I do that, Yeah, I have to like juggle my camera and my drink.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, and it's a slippery slope, and so I just
because you have one, and it's like, well,
I feel like
what's two?
One shot maybe before you go and like run up to the front of the stage.
Yeah,
and rush and like
one yeah. shot and have then
to,
rush
and then
the
because
stage.
Then you like this. I hate trying to get to the front, and, like take the photo, and like get everyone's face and be super annoying. Like maybe a shot would help.
I
before
would have thought of that before. I should have thought of that before. That's actually not bad. You don't have to juggle. Yeah, okay. All right. I'm
no,
on board. Yeah. But I had no problem getting up to the front of the stage. It was at the investors group tent. Is that that's one of them, right?
I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
I can't confirm.
They're all in French too.
Yeah, yes. And but
when
my
you read the sign.
My photographer friend who is there who's shooting for Manitoba Music, I asked her before the show, I was like, mm-hmm. Is there like a protocol for like getting in there to get pictures? And they're like, if someone sees you with a camera around the front of the stage, they'll just assume that you're supposed to be there.
Yeah,
so they'll
true.
Kind of stay out of your way. Yeah. And I mean, I, you know, fortunately I'm pretty familiar with the band, so they had no problem with me hanging out, hovering
of
around
course,
the stage
yeah.
getting shots. And yeah. Yeah. It was good. Do you guys, did you get any pictures?
Well, I mean, we worked on our, I think we all did worked on the feature articles for the
true.
Published, magazine over Reading Week, which is coming out in
TBD.
April. The mystery continues.
We're going to find out who killed him.
I did my article, stay tuned, will be something along the lines of safe spaces at local music festivals. So I spoke to Natasha of Rainbow Turret Music Festival, and I talked to Loren of the Big Fun Festival. They were both lovely. And I talked to Joanne Rodriguez, who is the bassist and vocalist of the Sorrells, and she's a badass chick. Like,
nice.
She's very cool. Hey, over there with the cool hair. So I got a couple photos. And yeah, essentially, I'm trying to work the article around the idea that safe spaces are an inherent part of these local music festivals, but that they safe spaces should just go without saying, regardless of written policy and written guidelines. So that's sort of what I focused on. There.
Yeah, We Johnnies just had that thing they put up about how it's a safe space. They had this whole
mm-hmm.
big poster that they have like pinned on their
yeah.
Facebook page just to let to kind of reinforce the idea that it's
yeah.
a safe space, which is, you know, if a business has to do that, then things must have been pretty bad before.
Yeah, and that's kind
but
of
it's
what's
something
interesting.
That women face all the time. Like
mm-hmm.
they have to always worry about it. So
yeah.
it's kind of sometimes nice to have those policies in
yeah.
place.
And that's what Loren was saying too about it, is that like she said that inherently, like, all spaces should technically be safe spaces for
mm-hmm.
everybody. We
right.
should just go without saying, but that they're not. So
yeah.
there needs to be these written policies and guidelines in place in order to give people some sort of protocol in order to how to deal with these situations. And if someone's at risk or if someone's uncomfortable, then
mm-hmm.
they now know how to deal with it in
mm-hmm.
an effective manner so that everyone kind of feels comfortable.
And is it more of a deterrent against people being like gross at places, or more of like a comfort thing for people who don't feel safe at these places, or does it do both?
Natasha said it's more of a comfort thing too, is that they've only ever in their 10 years of being you know, Rainbow Chart Music Festival, they've only had to kick one person out. But she said that it draws a vaster community and a wider audience, because if people like women or minorities or like basically anybody who feels marginalized, they can kind of look out for these festivals that have these written policies. And it gives them sort of, they're like, okay, you know what, this is a safe space. I know that this is going to be a welcoming environment where I won't feel, you know, oppression in any form.
Mm-hmm. What else did, what were the other feature articles?
So mine was women in the music industry. So I did a few interviews. So I talked to Sam, Claire, and Tallulah of Veneer. I think I talked a little bit about them in episode one because they opened for Braids. So they were really great. And then I talked with Elise Roller, who is like the lead singer in a metal kind of grunge band. And she's, she works at Manitoba Music too. And then I spoke with Victoria Dawn, who did like spoken word at a Dilla Day show I saw like a few weeks ago.
Spoken word, that's crazy.
It was like, cool, like to music, to a band.
Oh, cool.
Right.
And it was really cool. And she's 18 and she was really cool to talk to because she had like a lot of perspectives on being like a young Indigenous woman. So that was really awesome. Yeah, there was a lot. I got a lot of good
Yeah, you would have had
stuff.
So much content.
I had so much good content. It was really hard to, like, choose and hard to cut stuff out. Like,
yeah,
it was amazing. But got some good photos. And, like, yeah, we talked about, like, how it's really hard to get, like, respect from different men sometimes in the mm-hmm. music industry. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of problems they talk about is, like, dealing with, like, sound guys when they're playing shows. Mm-hmm. They're all guys. They're all sound. Like, maybe they've seen two girls. Like, this one girl, Claire, has only seen two women as in a sound position in, like, her 10 years of performing.
Yeah.
And they're all just, like, they don't like dealing with, like, oh, if they have a vocal pedal or whatever. They just, like, try to talk them out of using their gear, but they would never talk that way to like, their male
Totally. They'd be like, oh,
member.
Sweet. What kind of pedal you got there, bro?
Yeah.
Like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Let's plug that in. Let's see how they take that bad boy for a spin.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Have you done that before, Harrison?
No.
That came out very naturally.
I know sound guys, and I know how they are with other musicians. So... I've been in an environment where I've seen that, and that's true. I can't think of a single female soundboard operator.
That's interesting.
And they just want to kind of see more women in, like, higher up positions, especially, like, audio production stuff. Like, you don't see it as much. And Tallulah and Veneer said it was, she felt that, like, she always cared about music, but she knew less about music compared to guys because she felt like her, like, the facets to educate herself were, like, narrower and lesser. She had to go out of her way to learn technical stuff and, like, audio production stuff. So,
and more focused towards males.
Yeah. So, but it was all very interesting. We talked about safe spaces too, and the community.
What did they think about safe spaces?
Kind of a lot of agree. Like they're starting to get better, and, like, venues are starting to have mandates that it can't be all male, all white bills anymore. Like, they have to be more inclusive and, like, have, you know, females or minorities on stage too. So it's getting better. And honestly, they said that the community is really good in Winnipeg and they don't really face too much sexism or inequality, like, in Winnipeg. But when they tour is when they start to see, like, a lot of...
And is that within Canada or is that outside of Canada as well?
Outside of Canada and in other places too, like, in Canada. Yeah, like, Claire from Veneer used to play in Basic Nature. And she was, and it was just two girls in that band. And they would make, like, specific rules when they were on tour. Like, they never say they're alone. They never accept open drinks. Make sure they're both feeling safe and comfortable. If one person's not okay, they both leave. Like, they would have a code word if, like, things were getting weird. Like, they just had to think about those things because...
Which is something a male...
They would never have to understand. Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
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 Totally.
This is very interesting. Lots of good stuff from those interviews.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I did an interview with the Bros Landreth last week. I am a fool,
but baby, love you. That's so cool.
He was great.
I love Joey Landreth.
He's dreamy. One of my favorite people.
He's very dreamy.
He really is. I'm not made of stone. So I interviewed a bunch of artists. My feature is essentially about the connectivity between all these different working musicians in the city and in the province and how they all kind of came together. And in the early 2000s, there was this gig that would be every Sunday at the King's Head. It was all the King's Men. Every Sunday, people would go out and just dance and have a great time. And this is like the most awesome jam band in the city. A lot of these musicians, these working musicians now, would, before they were super famous, they would all just, we'd all just meet there.
Are you a musician, Harris?
I'm a hack. putting it lightly. But I know a lot of these people. So we would all just hang out there with, like, Marty Sarbit and the Bros Landreth and Oriel Posen and the Dirty Catfish.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
All the OG
members. Solutions, Dr. Hotbottom, all these people would all just, we'd all just hang out there. So that was, like, a huge, like, musician community building event that doesn't really happen anymore. I mean, it still does. And whenever there is a big event like that, you'd still see them at the same place. But, you know, people, if you saw all those people now in the same room, you'd go, like, crazy starstruck.
Yeah,
probably.
True.
Yeah. So
I would.
Yeah.
Just having Joey Landreth in a room, I'm starstruck.
What about his brother? No one gives his brother enough love.
That's
Dave is
true.
One of my. He's on my.
We love Dave too.
Yeah, he's great. He's going to be on my podcast in the next couple weeks.
Is he funny?
crappy plug for that, but he's super funny. He's actually, I think that he's funnier than Joey. Joey's super funny too, but Joey's a little bit more of the
straight
man.
Love being the funny brother?
Oh, man.
There's always the good-looking brother. The funny one.
He's the funny one. No, we love Dave. We love Dave, of course.
So yeah, interviews with them and Lanikai and Catfish, and it was great. So I went down to Festival to hang out with Marty and get some pictures of them, hoping to get more pictures of the other members. Joey is actually moving back to Winnipeg.
No way.
Yeah. Oh,
how
I
come?
Hope I'm okay to say that.
We might need to cut that out.
Maybe we'll see.
But I want the inside scoop.
Yeah, I'll tell you where he lives.
I'll just show up. yeah, let's cut that out.
I don't know why he's moving back, but it's awesome. Because it's great to have the band back together. Because, you know, they don't really practice. They know their songs backwards and forwards.
Right, and they haven't come out because Joey went solo, so they haven't come out with any new material in quite some time. But now they're going to be
symphony show.
I'm really pumped for that. That's going to
be
incredible.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in June, right?
Yep. June 20th, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. What a fun show.
I know. I kind of want to interview I know the lead celloist for the WSO as well, so I want to interview her. That's awesome.
Yeah, and for a public service announcement for anybody who doesn't know, that the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra has something called Soundcheck for students. So you get super cheap tickets. Ooh. So I went to a symphony show a month or so ago. Only cost about $25. Regular seats are like $40 plus, so... If you want, go down to the WSO with your student card.
Yeah, we never really talk about that. We didn't really touch on that when we were coming up with this. Like, the symphony and classical music is actually really good.
It was one of those things where it was, like, kind of a night out, and it was just, like, just fun.
Yeah.
And it was, like, something I wouldn't have really ever, like, considered doing, but I was like, you know what? It's the middle of winter. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm wondering, I haven't checked Soundcheck prices if there is one for this upcoming show, but you could probably get pretty affordable tickets.
Totally.
So... very cool.
Yeah. So the interconnectivity between all these musicians and their kind of early beginnings and how they all know each other and the community is they all kind of agree that it's not really competitive in this city like it is in other cities. Toronto, Joey was like Toronto. You see genres kind of stick together, but you don't see a lot of mixing of genres and they're all kind of competitive. And same with like Marty said the same thing. Traveling around Canada, you see a lot more competition, whereas in Winnipeg, everyone's just rooting for each other and on the same side, you know?
It's such a great community.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what everyone I was talking to was kind of saying. It's just they all support you. You all support each other.
Yeah, like, someone else gets success. It's not like a zero-sum game where, you know, a gig someone else is getting is a gig I'm not getting kind of thing. They all are just happy for each other.
Yeah, which is awesome. Lindsay, what's yours?
I didn't do one.
What?
Just kidding. Can you imagine if I was like, oh, that was due?
Yeah, that would be a rude awakening.
Oh, man.
You found out live on our podcast episode that you missed a deadline.
Yeah, the first live auto fail on air. Proof.
That should be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I did my feature article on the hardcore scene in Winnipeg, and like basically I just focused it mostly on straight edge kids in Winnipeg, and then that goes hand in hand with the hardcore scene.
Can you explain to me what straight edge kids are?
Okay, so straight edge means you can decide, it's like a lifestyle. You don't smoke like tobacco, you don't do drugs, you don't drink. It's just personal choice. There's tons of people who do it because they just don't enjoy that like lifestyle. There's people who do it because they are recovering. And there is, it's just like a lot of them, interviewed somebody in the scene. He is in a band called Withdrawal. He wasn't a band. They just actually on Saturday, I wasn't here, which would have been really helpful, but they played at the Handsome Daughter. And it was kind of like a comeback, like not a comeback, like a reunion show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in an all straight edge band called Ill Fated before that was his most recent band, but that's kind of over too.
So they need to put that kind of modifier, like they need to let people know that their band is all straight edge.
They did that like sometimes. Yeah. So the big thing is, the scene used to be a lot bigger, especially here. Right now it's very small, he said. There's probably, he could basically count on his two hands who considers themselves self-straight.
And is this because it's like past addictions, or is it that
he's just never
never had an interest?
So Adam told me he had he grew up in St. James, and like he said, all his friends drink, all his friends do drugs. He just like it's not something that interests him.
Mm-hmm.
He decided at I think he said 15, and he started going to shows more around 19, and now he's 33. He's never done it. Never done drugs, never drank alcohol. Another very interesting thing he mentioned was that he, like, the straight edge community is very, like, it varies from scene to scene. So, like, there's just different kind of, like, ideas and stuff. But here, and I actually have a friend who's straight edge in Calgary, and I interviewed him as well, just because he brought a hardcore band from Winnipeg to Calgary, like, 2 weeks ago called Meantime. And distracted, sorry. And then so I was talking to him, and there's this like thing, you know, like Budweiser just came out with what's it called? It's non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
Prohibition like, beer.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So and they sell those at the Daughter. There's you see them everywhere.
Yeah.
For those who love the taste of beer.
There you go.
But not any of the benefits.
Right. More specifically, those who love the taste of Budweiser.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a really specific niche.
Yeah.
So he said that a lot of the time now, straight edge kids are drinking those, and they call them 0.5s.
Mm.
And
there's absolutely zero alcohol content? Oh, okay.
0.05.
Okay, so
they call it 0.5.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say they call people who drink that 0.5.
Oh, no.
bullying. No, they call this in the community. You're half of a person. Straight edge.
I guess people do that, and so that's kind of their decision. So there is choices within the straight edge community, but it's also so small. They know when you're kind of faking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you say it out loud and you don't live that lifestyle, you're like, that's very interesting, like to mm-hmm. choose, and like that there's people, but they're all friends. My friend Evan knows Adam here and Jesse, and they're both straight edge, and they know my friends from Vancouver who are also straight edge. So it's really interesting. It's just like a really from Winnipeg to Vancouver, it's the hardcore scene is very cohesive. And then once you get to Winnipeg, it takes 24 hours to get to Toronto. So the East Coast kind of has their own scene. But everyone from Winnipeg to Vancouver down to Seattle, and there's a bunch of places that they do that touring route. They all know each other pretty well.
And you keep using this term, which I'm slightly familiar with, but not completely. Hardcore?
Yeah, it's a hardcore punk. Minor Threat was who coined the term straight edge in a song.
No, I mean the term hardcore. How would you define that? Just punk?
That's what it's called.
Oh.
That's the genre.
No, I know. Yeah. That's what I mean, though.
Okay. It's called hardcore. Yeah, it's hardcore punk. It's
okay.
A subgenre.
Yeah.
They're kids who go to shows and mosh.
Yeah. And you know what? I get it. It makes sense that there would be a community of straight edge people in hardcore, because I feel that would be a community where it'd be real easy to just backslide into some crazy lifestyle of drinking and drugs
punk.
And stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And the sad thing is so they usually had their shows at community centers. And they're always all ages shows. And my friend Evan made a really good point that he always felt in high school he was kind of an outcast, and then he when he turned 19 he started going to these hardcore shows in all ages places, and that's where they kind of got to know each other, and they all became really good friends. But as time goes on, I guess there's less and less shows at community centers, because these shows are pretty they're not super tame shows, mm-mm. these people,
just because they're straight edge doesn't mean they're sort of
they're still moshing, and so I guess now more shows are at the Daughter, and so that not as many underage kids can come out, which means not as many underage kids can see that there is this straight edge community and that there is options. Because I feel a lot
influence.
Of people in Winnipeg turn in the winter, they don't have much to do, so kids they'll go out and they underage drink
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But if you see some 24-year-old who's at a show having just as much fun as everyone else, and he is like chooses not to live that lifestyle. I guess it's more of an influence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On
yeah.
So right now there's not as many shows, so there's not as many kids choosing it. So it's a right now in Winnipeg, it's a pretty small community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as people grow up, like when I was 18 or 19 going to shows, and you know, if I, not that I did, but if I ever decided, like, if someone was like, hey, I'll buy a beer, and I was like, no, I'm good, they'd probably be like, what?
Yeah.
But now, if you know, once you get to, once you mature a little bit, when you're like, you know, in your mid-20s, mid-80s, oh, God, thanks for that. You know, when you make a decision to not drink alcohol, no, or whatever, take any kind of whatever substance, no one is going to be like, what? What's wrong with you, bro?
Right.
Like, I don't know why I always put that inflection.
I like that. And what Adam kind of mentioned when I was interviewing him was, I guess the pressures of, like, are less in this scene. Like, so if you choose to be straight edge, people aren't constantly, like, hassling you. Like,
right.
Oh, like, come out and drink tonight. Like, as in other music scenes,
totally,
like people kind of like shame you if you're not like, if you're like, oh, I'm not drinking tonight, and people are like, why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's like the older, like you said, the older you get, the less and less that happens, because like people are maturing. But
yeah, like I'm pretty sure Dave Landreth doesn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. And you know, when we'd go out and whatever, and everyone else would be drinking, and you'd be like, buy a drink, and he's like, no, I don't drink. You know, the first couple times you're like, oh, okay, and they kind of have to think about that. But that after a while, because I have a friend who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke weed or anything like that, and you know, the first couple times we were hanging out and you'd offer to buy him a drink and he'd say no, you'd be like, oh, right. And then eventually you just stop offering, mm-hmm. because you know that it almost sounds like you're not listening to them, you're not respecting their choices by constantly being like, hey, I'll buy a drink. No, I've told you before, I don't drink, you know.
I can see it being harder when you're younger to like stay strong to like what you want.
Well,
like if people
sure.
are like questioning you, it's probably so great that in that community that
and he he made the comment that like he never felt like he was missing out because he never started.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he like,
and he surrounded himself with people that
with
I'm
people
sure
who were supportive and other
values.
People.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like there's lots of music scenes where people don't drink and do drugs.
Yeah.
The hardcore scene just has this subculture called straight edge, and like you will see they have like the X on their wrists or wrists on their hands, like kind of represents that if you like look back in the history. It kind of started in the 80s. I just kind of did that as my future because I grew up with friends in the scene, and I think, and I just really wanted to understand it more.
That's interesting. So if they have like an
very
X
cool
on their hand, you're like, okay, I don't need to offer to
buy
this guy
I think
a drink
that's
or
more like before. I don't think they do that as much.
Okay.
I didn't really ask, but when you're reading like the history, because I read a book, like a book, and it's by it's actually on the straight edge and hardcore punk scene, and it's by like an academic. It was really interesting.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and that's kind of like that derived from that, from you getting an X on your wrist at a bar because you're underage, so that they won't serve you, is kind of like how it started, I think.
Right.
But I mean, I'm sure if you asked somebody, they'd be like, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Because it's like too cool. But I really enjoyed our feature articles. I like learned a lot. It's hard though. It's hard to decide what information,
what to keep,
you want to put in.
Yeah.
Because there's so much in music. Like we have such a broad topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really struggled with
but
that.
But yeah.
Too.
Who did a remote this week?
I did.
You did. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
So I just recorded my interview with Veneer.
Right.
So yeah, it was a longer interview. So there's just part, like maybe half of the interview that we'll play on the podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, it was really good. We talk about kind of what they're like as a band, what their influences are, how they write their songs, stuff like that. And like a little bit about being like a woman in the music industry.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll play that one right now, and we'll come back in a sec.
Okay, so my name's Tallulah, and I play guitar and saxophone and sing in Veneer.
I'm Sam, and I play bass, keyboard, and trombone in Veneer.
I'm Claire, and I play the drums in Veneer.
So do you guys just want to kind of talk about like your band a little bit, like your influences, what you're all about?
Sure.
Our genre. What is our genre?
Poppy.
Poppy?
I mean, a lot of people have said pop.
Dry. Really?
Soft rock?
Soft rock.
I've always loved that genre, soft rock.
Soft rock.
Softest rock you've ever known.
Sorry gentle. About the radiator.
Oh, that's okay.
Gentle core.
Gentle core.
So it's got a whole new meaning.
Comforting, harmony.
Warm. We'll just describe
the color. Warm blue.
I'd say there's some dryness to our sound at this point. Like we have a few pedals that we're toying with, and like.
But I think I don't know.
It's evolving. Like we're still kind of new. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like
we want to do more.
I think it changes every time, especially with like the mix of the woodwind and the trombone, like the saxophone and the trombone. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time we've done that kind of thing where it's like more droney. Like we had this one song we literally called Jazz Sax.
Yeah.
And I would just like hard jazz solo in it because that's like how I learned saxophone, but it's like already different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say it's like, I don't know. Just
we're kind of all over the place. In this, like we're still figuring it out, like developing realms of what we want to do with songs. And like we might just combine everything.
Yeah, I think one thing that we do all enjoy that I feel like we've all talked about wanting to keep is just keeping it like more pared down. But again, it could change, but just like liking that, I don't know, we're like a three-piece... And we don't really use a bunch of pedals, and we kind of like a raw, like kind of like as if you heard it in like your garage rock acoustic. Sometime. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you guys say that you have any influences or that you kind of try to, or not really, you just kind of do your own thing?
Yeah, like what do you listen to?
Like, what do we listen to?
Like, what are you listening to right now?
There's, I definitely, one song was definitely inspired by, like, a Lomelda track that I love called Bam Shaklam. It's different, but that was pretty moving. And, like, a lot of the local bands, I wouldn't necessarily say we're influenced by them, but
we
listen to them, so they influence us. Like, Animal Teeth or Ian Sucks.
Like, UMFM and CKUW.
Totally, yeah. A lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, pretty down with, like, Kate Bush.
Yeah.
Though I don't think we sound like her at all. I love Kate Bush.
Our first cover that we did was by the Go-Go's.
Oh, like, yeah, that was a thing.
And we always listen to just, like, weird songs that we, like, send each other. And I don't know, it's sort of inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, but it ranges anywhere from, like, an old, like, track from, like, I don't know. I feel like you bring forth a lot of really cool, like, classic musicians. They're like, Hall & Oates is amazing. And I was like, really? And then I have to, like, Google them.
No, my friend Peter is, like, obsessed with Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
So when I saw John Oates at the Folk Alliance, he, like, lost his shit. He was like, ask him how he survived the 80s and, like, all these things, but I couldn't. And then he didn't even play any old, like, any of the old 80s classics because now he's just a folk musician. I'm like, this is stupid. Why did you come here? Play your hits, man.
I
so mean. which was there's one that was like, you were singing it a lot.
We were?
No, like when I was in the room with the other Breakout West people.
Oh.
We're what's it called? You're making my dreams come true.
That's
you know? Like, that's
I heard Manny here the other night, and it was pretty banana.
That probably haunts him. He just walks around, and he's like,
It's hard to peg down an influence.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I know Sam and I.
Listen to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to a lot of, like ambient stuff, like, but then also, like, an example is, I don't know, I remember I shared in, like, our group chat, like, Suburban Lawns I love them.
I love their songs, get stuck in my
They're
head all the
so
time.
So sweet.
Or, like, Moss Lime and Solid Space, I've been listening to a lot.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think, like, it's so tough because it's, like, any music you've grown up listening to from, like Leonard Cohen even, or, like, the Beatles classics will influence you and you realize it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's, like, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Like, I know Sam and I grew up, like, doing music together
through,
like, grade school and, like, just being, like, pseudo-folk bands, and we're, like, don't want to do that at all now, but it's definitely an influence.
Oh yeah,
like how we structure things.
We were in a choir. Yeah, we were like in choir together.
That's
for
so
like
cute.
Years and years and years.
And
like literally standing next to each other, harmonizing in different parts. So she'd be like a mezzo soprano, and I'd be like an alto two or something.
Yeah.
And I'm sick, so my voice is extra low today. But like, you know, and like so like we have like that history, but then also band with like saxophone and trombone, like harmonies and structures with songs, but then also bringing in like. I guess
that's
weird,
a lot of like
crusty indie stuff that
yeah.
we're like, oh yes, and then
it's
here.
A lot of like classical influence too, like from doing like chamber choir music to like I feel like sometimes like the understanding harmonies that helps a lot,
mm-hmm.
and it's sweet because like Claire, I guess you like Sam and I didn't really have a band until Claire came in, but like you totally get all that stuff, which is
yeah.
really neat, especially like when harmonizing and like understanding like little intricacies and whatnot. It's really cool. I don't
mm-hmm.
think I've ever told you, so thanks.
Oh, so sweet. I feel honored to be playing with the both of them.
Aww. How did you guys, like, when did you guys form like the year? And like, how did it happen?
Formed for the performance that we got booked for at Rainbow
yeah.
Trout.
Yeah. Okay.
So we weren't a band yet. And we're like,
okay,
hey,
cool.
let's do this. But
right
I guess like.
At like 10:30, 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was such a banana.
Well,
we're like,
we just like applied kind of as like, okay, should we apply for Rainbow Trout? That'd be funny. And we had one song off of Beach Station
March.
Blues.
We kind of formed in March, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And then, well, like, because we had one song off of Beach Station Blues, which was like a whole other thing, where me and Tallulah literally just like that day wrote Across, which was just like, we just made it up. And
yeah, like, I played guitar and sang, and Sam sang and played keys, and then we got other people to just fill it afterwards. Like,
okay,
somebody else
cool.
played drums, somebody else played, like, added a bit. Like, we didn't
yeah.
even know what it sounded like until Riley put it out, because he
oh,
mixed
cool.
the entire thing.
That's awesome.
He's like, I added acoustic guitar, and I added these things. We're like, cool.
That's awesome.
That was the first Veneer song, like, in air quotes, I guess.
That's awesome.
Technically.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so we just applied for a Rainbow Trout,
yeah.
and it happened, and we're like, oh shit, and
March
then they were like, oh, by the way, it's late and on a Friday, and like, so we were like, hey, we gotta have to make a band now.
Yeah,
and it was so
we
fun. It kind of put
like
a fire
a
under our ass to like actually get it going, and like
totally.
I was like so excited to ask Claire because I know you're such a good drummer, and then yeah, like we fully just like became a band at that point. It's
mm-hmm.
fun.
Yeah,
just,
like, so like we were
so
acquainted, but
and,
I feel like you two knew each other a bit from before because you like
Just
like through like real love mostly, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, oh, and like almost living in the same house together for a
yeah.
while.
So I'll just say that.
Since
yeah,
I was there
totally.
Every day.
I know.
Yeah.
Walnut.
So yeah, March. We
cool.
formed about in March.
So how does it feel to be in a band with like all girls? Like, have you guys ever played in any other bands with like guys?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and how does it like kind of compare for you guys?
Like, dynamics wise?
Yeah, dynamic or just like everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
The bands that I played with guys, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell because I was also a lot younger,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's kind of just, I don't know, figuring out what they like and want to do, but it's, I don't know, when I played in a band with all guys, it was very disorganized and not very, like, respectful. Like, people would just, like, we'd get there and they'd all just like start banging on their instruments and playing, and it's like, okay, let's settle down, let's like organize, and like I feel like I don't know. And then my last band was with another girl, and it's just like, I think it feels more organized. We all listen to each other and like respect each other, and I don't know, it feels like, I don't know, and you guys understand if, like, we,
yeah.
I don't know, we can talk about, like, you know, if we feel unsafe at, like, a, I'm sure you'd be able to do that with
it's
guys.
It's just a different, it's, like, a different
yeah.
environment entirely, like, the energy is so, like, just entirely shifted, I feel,
mm-hmm.
like, whereas, because I'm still in, like, Living Hour, which is, you know, I'm the only woman in that band, and it's, like, it's just a totally different energy, I guess. Like, especially with, like, on, like, with shows, but also in mostly, like, when you're rehearsing, I guess, is, like, when you're spending most time with them. And it's, yeah, it's...
How do you find it different?
Different, like... I don't know. It's hard with Living Hour, though, too, because I've been in that band for, like, years and years and years. So they're,
yeah.
like, my brothers and, like, family at this point,
yeah.
where it's just, like, okay, whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
we talk to each other kind of openly. Like, every band is different in that regard. Communication is so
yeah.
scattered and different, but... Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It's just more of a I guess, yeah, like a sensitivity thing where I just feel like I'm, I don't explain it.
I was really in a band with a bunch of dudes, and that was like when I was really young, but I feel like the difference in that, and especially with you too, is that like, for me, because I haven't been in a bunch of bands before, I found like the encouragement and support and like space for me to be able to take up a creative energy, and like Sam and Claire like fostering that versus like me trying to fight for that space, which I don't have a, like I said, like it's not necessarily what I experienced with the other band I was in, but like in general, yeah, it just feels like very supportive and like open. And if I need to like talk about a song before I play it for them, they understand that and like want to know the feeling behind it as well. And again, like I haven't necessarily been in a band with other guys, but I feel like that is like a difference for me in general with how I relate creatively to people. Like I'll generalize and say that like yeah, sometimes with dudes I feel like I have to like be like, this is what I'm showing you, and like be equally as loud, whereas with Claire and Sam, it's like more relaxed. It's like, hey, I have something to share with you.
Right.
Do you want to listen?
Well, even like when you were saying, like, when you go into the jam space and then all the guys are like immediately like bashing instruments and playing, it's like that sort of thing. Like, where if I was into, when you like enter that space, you're like, okay, if I have to like command attention of this room right now, I need to be just as loud or just as boisterous and just as like, ah. And I'm not saying it's like that all the time, obviously, totally. But I don't know. I feel like with our dynamic as human beings, also,
exactly.
It's just like it's
person
like,
to person, also.
Yeah, it's like there's, and then yeah, like with Living Air, like it's like we have very like sensitive moments where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just like really toy around with this thing, and then you know, like they're like respectfully quiet, and like it's sort of like a human like personality thing, and then also the style of music that you're playing.
Yeah,
I think
like,
really comes into it.
I feel like we're not bashing like guys at all, or being in bands with guys is like super fun. It's just. Like 80% of the time, a very different energy, you know,
yeah,
and like a
that,
different way of like that you have to engage and present yourself, and, you know.
And like you, I don't know. I was, I don't know. Like this might, I don't know. I'm not really fully formed on this thought, but I always thought that they were just like more. What's the word for it? Like aware. I don't know. Just like. I can't process this thought properly.
That's fine. It's the one thing that is different that's kind of not dynamics related is it's kind of more like a bigger picture thing is that I feel like as a woman going into music that just because of what, you know, like societal standards are encouraging you to do, I knew less about music, but not because I cared about it less. It's because the facets that I had to educate myself were narrower or felt narrower, you know? So I was less like tech inclined and more inclined to like singing and like bettering my voice instead of like learning a guitar. Like those were things that I feel like I had to go out of my way more where maybe like, and again, super general, but like growing up as a dude, people were like, learn the technical stuff, like get into audio, like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Even just symbols, like seeing, like growing up, you would almost always just see some guy shredding on guitar in a band or bass or drums or what have you.
Exactly.
Instead
so
of
representationally, like
exactly.
Yeah.
It's different, and I feel like sometimes those are things that we carry, and I think it's kind of cool that now we're filling those roles because we've found our way here. We're fortunate enough to find our way into these roles, and I'm. Yeah. So it's just one of those things that it's hard to talk about and kind of explain that sometimes. Your guy counterparts in bands, and but usually if you kind of bring it up, you're like, hey, like I have an experience that like you will never know, or like to kind of like level with them. I feel like they're more understanding. But like when we just like automatically kind of are in that groove together, it's like, all right, let's now make music. It's cool.
Yeah, and it's nice to have. I think it's like nice to have that shared experience to be able to push our own boundaries that may not always exist for like male. People, you know what I mean?
I think it'll bring us to exciting places because we're like,
totally,
It's like we're more open-minded and like able, not more open-minded, but like kind of collectively together. Like I feel like we're giving ourselves like that cool space to kind of experiment and do things.
Yeah, exactly.
Beyond just like, because we're already pushing like boundaries, I guess. So does that make
sense?
Would
like two more.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then to just kind of be like, oh, if we're already doing this, let's just keep doing, you know, like other like cool things and like whatever, fuck it. Like it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I like I drum in this other band now, for Cassidy Mann, and she gave me this drum pad to use, so I had to figure out how to play with it, and I bought in-ears and had a little mixer, and I was and I'm really happy because I've always just seen so many people with that added thing, and I just kind of felt like I need to get with the times. So yeah, this is it's really nice. Yeah. But I was just thinking how seeing these people in these roles, the guys shredding I don't think I would have become a drummer if I hadn't seen the inside of this B-52's case where Cindy Wilson was listed as being a drummer on it, and that was my favorite band growing up, and I was what? And then when the White Stripes came along and everyone was Meg White's a terrible drummer, and I'm well, if she's a terrible drummer, why do I fucking love all of these songs? Yeah. And it's that's how I learned. It's playing along to their songs, and it's just that's not considered bad drumming. It's just it's simple.
It's
just
different.
It's different.
It's okay to like
that. Yeah.
And it's just inspiring. Yeah. So
it's okay to be and have that, I don't know. I feel
I think people need to get rid of these ridiculous standards that you need to be I've always been a nervous drummer because I don't have these intricacies to it. I don't have all these, I feel there is a lot of pressure to be outstandingly
or even just loud, you know?
Yeah, even loud. It's funny when we did sound at the WEC, the sound guy laughed when I was playing and I was why are you laughing? And he's you play so quietly, and he's it's a good thing. And I was okay, but I was also yeah, I do play really quietly.
Yeah. He was chill, though. I liked our
good,
sound guy there.
Yeah. I've never heard someone
It's so funny. Yeah.
It didn't feel sexist, which was nice.
Yeah.
It was just kind of
cool,
oh, this is a nice break from people just bashing the shit out of the drums all the time.
Yeah, it's funny. Okay. Such an aggressive instrument.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where do you see yourself going with Veneer? Do you have any goals with...
Yeah, we just wrote them out the other day.
Ooh.
We'll merge with one. Checkpoint completed. That was really fun. And that was just the first run, and I feel like we have lots of ideas for other things.
Yeah.
The last time we made pins, we just did a bunch of collages and then turned them into round shapes to press into buttons.
Yeah.
And then we did screen printing for the last shirts, which was fun because I got to use one of my designs that we all agreed on.
Cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's probably going to be pretty I don't know if grassroots is the right word to use, but just us three kind of putting a lot into what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's cool to just have everything be focused on handmade stuff as far as merch goes. But then as far as bigger plans for Veneer, we're definitely going to do some sort of recording.
Yeah.
We're thinking maybe an EP or something.
In the spring.
Yeah,
But yeah, I don't know, potentially release it on tape,
okay.
I was thinking. But yeah, then have it also online, digitally. I think that'd be kind
download,
of cool.
Yeah.
We were talking
I do
about.
Have. Mm-hmm. I guess I do have a connection for small run, 7-inch LPs.
Also,
that would be
so
cool.
We should just do that and then taste and then.
And wouldn't that be sweet?
Oh my god, so much.
And then we were kind of brainstorming on maybe touring in the summer.
Okay.
That's
cool.
Big goals,
though.
Especially because it's all dependent on when the recording gets
done. When the recording is done, when we're free, because we're all busy ladies.
I have a full-time job where I only have a few weeks, so I need to try and talk to my bosses and maybe finagle someone.
I'll
send some letters. Some anonymous letters
from some big labels.
We need our future here.
Yeah. But it's definitely a possibility. I know we all want it to happen. It's just when,
even in Canada somewhere, just a quick jaunt. I have a Honda Civic. We can do it.
It's so small. If I don't bring my drums, we could do it.
If you don't bring your drums, we could do it. And then if you do bring your drums, we could get a trailer.
Yeah, it feels more a when versus an if right now. It's just when it when it's gonna happen, not if it happens.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I mean,
so that's exciting.
I think we need to do it a little strategically, I didn't want a tour before we had anything to release, so I'm hoping we can release something and bring it on tour.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Definitely the plan. So then just see what happens from there, and I think it'd be ideally kind of cool too if we could like do like some sort of support. This is like way like 2 year plan. Mm-hmm. Do some sort of like support tour.
Yeah.
For like someone. That's yeah. like always a little bit of a dream of mine. Is to always do support tours. Because you have like the crowd
touring with someone, right?
Yeah.
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 I feel like it'd be so cool to just play festivals all around Canada. Like in the summer, have like some weird festival circuit.
It's all these like little baby festivals. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like,
that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I guess something that we're all starting to like reaching out to get involved with, but are pumped for, it's like as a band, but also as an aside, is the Girls Rock Camp that's mm-hmm. happening this summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a board meeting tomorrow, and that's the first one I was gonna tell you.
Oh, when?
But tomorrow, tomorrow evening.
Okay.
But
oh,
I was gonna.
Shoot, what time?
I think so. I'll tell you more details. Okay. But it's something that like we kind of have always wanted to support something like that, like as individuals mm-hmm. mainly, but as a band, we're like, we're a 3-piece like female band, like mm-hmm. we can do things for other people, we can like be representational for people who need somebody like them visible and like doing it all themselves, you mm-hmm. know, in a way.
Definitely.
So that's something that we're like, I definitely know myself, I have the time available yeah. to commit a lot of effort to it, but yeah, mm-hmm. we're all very in support of Girls Rock Camp. It's like yeah. for girls and non-binary folks, so female identifying.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that like a new thing that's just started?
Yeah,
totally
yeah.
Oh, that's
first,
so cool.
First year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely, like, I feel like as a band also, like how you're saying individually, like we're passionate about these like causes. Like I think also like as a band of women,
yeah.
literally in a band. Like, I think that it's a cool opportunity to expand on those ideas, like not only like within songwriting, but also like in certain shows that you play and like where mm-hmm. the proceeds going. And like, we've always had this, yeah. Like, so Girls Rock Camp for sure. And then also, I don't know, having like some shows where we could, you know, give some proceeds to like a women's shelter mm-hmm. or something like that. Like, it's always something like I've had.
Yeah.
In the back of my head, like we could do like mm-hmm. some sort of fundraising. Like, I don't know, I just feel like with our band and our vibe that we can like maybe hit that like political spectrum, like
totally, yeah.
With, because we do it already in our own lives, like to just kind of like propel that a bit.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We have a group. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Just to go back a little bit, what do you guys write like your songs about mostly? Like,
It's a bunch of stuff. Usually, well, I have one song. Like, it's about a lot of things, but there's one song, First in Line, that we sing
yeah.
that is about privilege, actually.
Okay, cool.
Just how, you know, just there's
do it.
It's just like, you basically, like the metaphor of like being in line, and like no matter what, like there's always going to be someone like who's always the first in line, and who's always like, yeah, because they have this privilege that is like invisible to them sometimes, but it's this, you know, like the societal structure that we all exist in, and no matter what, even if they like completely fuck up, they're still gonna be at the front of that line. And it's just kind of like, okay, just okay, fine, if you're at the front of the line, whatever, just at least acknowledge it. And like, if you leave the door open,
yeah,
like
yeah.
leave it for us, like, so
yeah,
like
yeah.
if we can like kind of follow through, or like at, like let us cut, or like something like that, like that's kind of like
yeah.
what that's,
but it's
on.
Also
cool.
like
it's more, I don't know,
no it's your song. I thought that was beautiful.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
I thought it was
like,
just
about
being in a line.
That's
I never
what I
think
love
about
it. Is that it's like everybody's interpretation, like
yeah,
like, which is great, because you can write, personally, I don't really write songs with an intent. I think it helps me just work through things more so.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's writing it about somebody or about a situation, it's going to be interpreted like however people need it to for
mm-hmm.
them, which is
mm-hmm.
totally. And like the words also, yeah, it's like it could be about anything, but
yeah,
it's and it's also interesting too, because like when you perform a song over time, I especially like, if, especially with like Living Hour, but also now like with Veneer, I know that for me, sometimes like whatever words I'm singing at face value, it might just mean like the word when, but then like in my own head, I'm thinking of like 6 different ways like you could think of when, or like
just like
it's a kind
bit
of
more abstract.
So
feelings.
It develops
yeah.
like when you perform, because you're like accessing those feelings that like are in connection with the song.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that one, yeah, was like explicitly in my head, like about privilege and about how there's
yeah.
always someone ahead of you, but they don't
know
it.
Yeah. I also like a lot of times I just like some of the music that I write, just it feels good to play. Like there's a song that I still don't have lyrics to and I just make it up on the spot because it's more about like the feeling of what I'm feeling when I'm playing it and then how people, though there are literally no lyrics that are distinguishable, I just like sometimes even mumble because I'm like, I don't know what to sing now. And people are like, that's one of my favorite songs. Like it's called Schedule and I just like make it up and I talk about like, I don't know, feet and shoes a lot and like fitting into things. So it's like whatever you take away from that, I guess. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like playing on a feeling, you know?
And like we toyed with naming the band Listmaker at one point because like we're like, I don't know, like I'm like I literally have my planner open in front of me like, 2 weeks like, from today. Yeah. I'm like constantly making lists, like, schedule. Like,
yeah. How did you guys decide on veneer?
We like
there was one car ride that I remember in particular. We were going to and from Rainbow Trout the year before we played it. This was Sam and I. Right after we did the recording for Beach Station, and we were just like in the car, we're like far, and we're like no, it sounds like fart. And we're like how about peach? We're like too close to peaches, and like just, just and then something that a friend told me that always stuck with me was like it doesn't matter what you name your band, it just becomes whatever your band is. Yeah. So that was like kind of a relief moment. I honestly don't know how we concluded on veneer,
like,
but
I had like this. I have like this note in my phone. It just has a bunch of words. That like I was like potential band names and then
yeah I think you picked
I don't I was like teen I think it was like teen veneer or like something with teen in it for some reason you're like why teen I was like I don't know and so you're like let's just try veneer and I was like okay
yeah and then we kind of gave it a bit of meaning. It's almost like getting a tattoo and then figuring out what it means after and then it just kind of happens over time, you know, you're like okay, well veneer means like a fake outside, but we're not fake. But it also means like the finish on a table, which makes it look cool. Like just like you know, just making it up as we go along.
I really like it. I'm super stoked on the decision.
I like that it's pretty. I honestly like that it starts with a V. I don't know why. It just like it's like a solid.
It commands attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like
word. Yeah, and we played a show with the Vangors and Holy Void recently, so we're like, okay, whoa, cool. Brought to you by the letter V. As Sam said, it just like.
Did I actually say
Yeah, you said that you're like.
I said it in my head.
No, you said it out loud. But it was pretty cool. I don't know, V is a cool letter, cool. Not used often.
So this is their song, Across, by veneer, and you can find it online at Real Love Winnipeg Beach Station Blues 5 on the Bandcamp. Okay. Well, what'd you guys think?
That was good. That was really good.
Cool.
Girl power.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have class to get to.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we do.
So
we got to wrap this up. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks very
week.
Much for listening to the third episode of Setlist Podcast. I'm Harris Gale.
I'm Susie G.
I'm Hannah Ocher.
And I'm Lindsay Warren.
Thanks very much, guys.
Bye.